Good morning. I would like to convene this meeting of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners, Wednesday, February 15th, 2017. All three commissioners are present, which constitutes a quorum. Commissioner Thompson, however, is fighting that, though he's present, he's fighting that bug that has laid a lot of people low, including one of our scheduled presenters this morning. And that it takes more than a bug to put Commissioner Thompson down. However, it is threatening to steal his voice, so he yielded the gavel to me for today. So hopefully conserve what's left of his voice. First item of business is a recognition proclamation proclaiming February 2017 as School-Based Health Center Awareness Month in Lincoln County. And as I mentioned, our scheduled presenter, Ellen Franklin, is one of those people who have been caught by the bug, but we do have an able team here in place of Ellen, so if you two ladies would come forward while I read this proclamation. Whereas healthy schools begin with healthy children, and all young people deserve access to quality, confidential, culturally responsive, and comprehensive health services. And whereas better access to all forms of health care leads to better academic achievement, long-term health outcomes, and success for all of Lincoln County's youth. And whereas for more than 30 years, Lincoln County's school-based health centers have provided affordable, accessible health care to youth, including quality primary health care, prevention messages, health education, and mental health services. And whereas Lincoln County Health and Human Services and the Lincoln County School District have been in partnership supporting school-based health centers throughout the county for more than a quarter century. And whereas school-based health centers encourage the use of health care services, improve young people's health status, help historically marginalized young people in Lincoln County get more care, increase mental health care for youth, support working parents, keep youth in school and ready to learn. And whereas Lincoln County is committed to strengthening school-based health services and systems that promote the health and academic success of young people, now therefore be it resolved that the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners does hereby declare February 2017 as School-Based Health Center Awareness Month and encourages Lincoln County residents to celebrate the contributions that school-based health centers have made toward improving the health of our children and adolescents. Good morning, and would our presenters introduce themselves, please?
Good morning, I'm Carol Hall, and I am the nurse executive for the Lincoln Community Health Center. And as you said, Ellen Franklin, who had planned to come this morning, who is the school-based health center program manager, is out ill like the rest of the county.
Good morning, I'm Rebecca McBee Wilson. I am the executive director of Lincoln Community Health Center, and the four school-based health care centers fall under the school community health center.
So I'm kind of pinch-hitting here for Ellen, so she's prepared a little PowerPoint in order to give some more information about what the school-based health centers do and how long we've been out there in the community. Whoops, see, I don't even know which way to go with this. Come on, technical assistance, please.
Mr. Miller.
All right.
This one, I'm sorry. Okay, so as you see here, you know, it's well known that healthy kids learn better, and so we have a goal of making sure healthcare is accessible in the schools. Kids lose less class time by being able to stay on the school grounds to receive their care, and parents who wish to come, wish to sign a release for their children to be able to come if they need to do that, also don't have to miss work. They can come to the clinic. We do a lot of interaction with parents and parental involvement. And in our school-based health centers, we provide physical, mental, and preventative health services. Like I said, on the school property, it reduces barriers such as cost, transportation, and concerns around confidentiality for many students. And also for the youth seeking other health services like mental health and drug addiction help. That's also available right in the schools. So the school-based health centers have existed in Oregon since 1986, and they've actually existed in Lincoln County since 1986. Last February, we were here before you to celebrate our 30th anniversary, so we're at year 31 today, and that makes it easy for me to keep track. Okay, So this is a little bit about the history. Toledo was the first school-based health center in Lincoln County that opened in 1986 and still going strong. After that was the Taft school-based health centers, Newport, which was 89, Newport and Walport in 99. So we have one school-based health center per high school in the county, and we are serving only K through 6 students there. There are no adults being served there, and it allows open access to students, and that is our only priority there. Many of the other clinics in Oregon also serve adults, so we're pretty proud that we've been able to maintain this for the students. This is just a little blast to the past in the trends section of the Newport Times back in 86. So what was trending was that the Toledo School-Based Health Center opened. So it's pretty exciting to that someone saved this clip for us so that we have it in a scrapbook over there. And we're proud that we can and brag about the years that we have served over there. And this is another picture there. So just to let you know who the staff are at our school-based health centers, we have nurse practitioners, and our nurse practitioners are actually the same nurse practitioners that work in our other clinics in the FQHC. So they do everything a regular primary care office does, routine medical office visits for both chronic and acute needs, physical exams, treatment of minor injuries, vision, hearing, dental screening, referrals for specialty health care. We do limited dental through vouchers. We've started this year doing a dental screening on all students, offering them dental care kits if they're not engaged in healthcare. So they go home from the clinic with a toothbrush and toothpaste and some floss. And we also are working to give them a warm handoff. If they have dental insurance, many times the parents don't know. Obviously, the student doesn't know. So we research that and reach out and try to get them engaged for their dental care. In the event they have no insurance, we have dental vouchers that we have a contract with Advantage Dental here locally at a contracted rate for them to provide the care that our uninsured patients need. We also do a wide range of family planning education, risk assessments, counseling, and method prescribing. We also are doing the long-acting reversible contraceptives, which are quite popular nowadays, much more effective than the previous oral contraceptives or other methods. And so it's really, we're doing a lot of education around family planning and sexually transmitted disease reduction in prevention. We also have a registered nurse, and she basically does immunizations, health education, and wellness promotion. She does a lot of the family planning, risk assessment, counseling, and methods. She many times will go into classrooms and do presentations as well. She has just an incredible relationship with all the students in all four of the schools, and they find her a very safe and secure place to come many times, so we're really proud of that. We have mental health providers also right in the clinics in the schools, and they provide mental health, substance abuse, screening, assessment, and treatment. Another special thing that we have that other schools don't have is partnered with the school district. They have used some money that they receive from the state through the Medicaid program to hire a school district employee called a health service advocate. And that person is a school district employee, although they are housed within our clinics at the school. So the working relationship is very close and allows us to easily refer back and forth for needs that the students might have. And this person also is a specialist in community resources, helping people get that are assessed and realize they are uninsured get on the Oregon Health Plan. And many times that's referring them back to our outreach and enrollment person that we have within the FQHC, and she goes to the schools and works with families and students for enrollment. The health service advocate also has a lot of community donations, so they have basic hygiene supplies and school supplies and many times clothing, shoes, and food. So many things that when you're not working face-to-face with the students, you don't realize that they're lacking in their everyday lives. And there's a big thank you from Alan Franklin for supporting our school-based health centers. But I also wanted to say that that the school-based health centers are proud to have served the unique needs of the Lincoln County students for over three decades. Key to our success is a strong partnership between the county and the school district and other community partners. We appreciate the opportunity to celebrate the great things the county has to offer in our school-based health centers.
Thanks. Anything you'd like to add, Rebecca?
No.
Just here for moral support for Daryl.
Yes,
okay.
In case there's a question that might come up.
Okay. Well, I know from this board you've got three big fans of the program, and I'll only mention this again and try to help conserve Commissioner Thompson's voice. That
oh, he's not that bad.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, you were on the statewide advisory committee for these centers for a long time, as I recall,
right.
And when there was a need for some renovation and rebuilding, you persuaded a few of your the Newport Clinic, or was it beyond Newport, persuade some deep-pocketed friends of yours to chip in some significant dollars for
actually,
that?
It was the Cooper family who
yes.
passed away, and they Larry Cooper was a fisherman, and some other fishermen joined in and helped construct the Newport when there was a trailer there and back, and it was a nice facility, and the people who got me so involved were the kids. Not any of the nurses or anything like that. I don't know why, but the kids from Walport got a hold of me and invited me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that nobody knew about it except for the kids. And
wow.
They gave me a tremendous opportunity to see what was going on, took me on a tour, and they're the ones that organized their own, and then from that just kept building until it wound up being on the statewide.
Well, we're excited that we are now bringing back to the schools youth advisory committees, and we've started now in Toledo, and we have a group of students that are going to be having their first meeting, and these students, I think that you all and the community will see much more of them as they're out talking about their good experiences with the school-based health centers and educating their fellow students and parents and other community members. We have found such a strong importance in having the consumer actually talk about their good experiences, and so we're on a movement to get in that way that you may in the future be approached as well to be more engaged in what they're doing.
Excellent. And who's the young man, the one that always sticks with me, and I know other folks as well, who was before us one year, I think, hadn't he come to the clinic for just for a routine athletic physical or
no,
something?
No, he was sitting in the classroom.
Oh, okay.
He was a basketball player.
Yeah.
And sitting in the classroom, and all of a sudden his heart rate went up to 240 beats a minute, and he was a very good athlete. And he walked out of the classroom, went into the healthcare clinic, which was in Newport, and they were able to stabilize him, otherwise he'd have passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being right there, if it wouldn't have been somebody that knew what was going on within minutes, he wouldn't have made it.
I would like to add that not everyone knows that. All students, all 5,500 plus mm-hmm. students are available. The health center is available to all students.
Yeah, it's not means tested, and middle and elementary students can access it as well. So, yes.
That's important. I think some people don't always understand that it's there for every student that's K through 12.
Right. Commissioner Hunt.
Well, I've had the opportunity actually to support these school-based health centers from both sides. I was on the school board when the program was expanded, and of course now as a commissioner I have the opportunity to continue that support. I think it's fairly easy to realize the value of these health centers. As was pointed out, attendance in the classroom is certainly a factor. I think people that students that come to school that are healthy, well-fed, have good hygiene, and certainly puts them in a state of mind where they're more comfortable and more receptive and part of the system, which helps them be successful. So I think they're great, and I think we should be proud of the successes that they've shared. And I wanted to also emphasize, as has already been said, that these services are available to all students, and I think that's important. So I keep up the good work.
One other group that when it looked like we were going to lose some of our school-based health care centers because of the state funding, the Siletz Tribe stepped up And I went to see them just to try to help out in Toledo a little bit, and they helped out for the whole county. And it actually started part of the relationship between the county on a lot of issues, I think, was key to that point, that they were really stepped up and helped us out there, and then we started doing things back, and it's been a great relationship ever since. So
and there were some other partners back in those times, those difficult times, Samaritan Pacific Communities Hospital, North Lincoln Hospital Foundation, kept us stable and funded, like you said. I mean, we're proud to say right now the school-based health centers are under the umbrella of the FQHC, and we right now are pretty stable. But no doubt that these organizations see the value of that if the day ever came that we needed help to maintain these clinics for the kids, that this community always steps up for the children.
Yes, indeed.
Anything else, or would somebody like to make a motion now?
I'll move for approval of the resolution proclaiming February 2017 as School-Based Health Center Awareness Month in Lincoln County.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
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 It's approved. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll see you next February, if not before. All right. We move on to the adoption of the consent calendar, and there is an item that Mr. Belmont needs to add to today's consent calendar.
Commissioners, if I might add to execution of documents for number two, we are in the process of again applying for a federal grant from the Office of Violence Against Women. This particular program is called Improving Criminal Justice Response, and specifically it addresses sexual assault, domestic violence, dating violence, and stalking. And once again, we're partnering with a number of county departments and offices, and then outside agencies. So it includes the Board of Commissioners, of course, heads this, and then Lincoln County District Attorney's Office, my sister's place, Lincoln County Community Justice, Lincoln County Sheriff's Office, Newport Police Department, Lincoln City Police Department, Toledo Police Department, and Crossroads Nonviolence Program. So in order to qualify for this grant, we have to update our existing memorandum of understanding that really establishes the roles for each of the partners in the process should we get the grant. And that's what we have before us today. And so if I can include that in the consent calendar, we'll get the board's signature on that particular item and move forward with the grant application.
Are there any other consent calendar items that staff or commissioners wish to either highlight or remove? If not, I would entertain a motion for adoption of the consent calendar with the addition of the item execution of the VAWA grant just described by Mr. Belmont.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt today's consent calendar. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's approved. Public hearing. Would our presenters come forward? And I will formally open this public hearing. This is the second hearing set under ORS Chapter 198 and 266 to consider the formation of the Greater Toledo Pool Recreation District. Today, the board will again consider the boundaries of the proposed district, its benefit to the community, and properties within the proposed boundaries, the proposed number of members on the district board and the method of their election, and the proposed level of funding needed by the district to operate. At the conclusion of the hearing, the board may proceed with the formation process by referring to the voters of the proposed district on the May 2017 election the question of formation of the district with funding as proposed. Next step will be a report from Mr. Belmont.
A couple of quick things, commissioners. We held the first hearing on this matter on January 25th for the record, and you did receive some input and testimony at that time. The second thing is that the proposed funding for the district is 77 cents per $1,000 of assessed value, and there may be some discussion about that amount and how that will cover the operations for the proposed district. And finally, we've received board and county council's office have received no additional public input related to this matter, so what you receive today will inform you on making your decisions.
Okay. Now we open it to public comment. First up, representatives of the petitioners. Good morning, and if you did both introduce yourselves for the record and whatever you'd like to offer up.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Mindy Baxter. I'm one of the
chief petitioners, the petition that's presented to you, and also co-chair of the Keep Our Pool Open Committee.
And I'm Jim Chambers. I'm also a co-chair and also one of the petitioners on your request.
Okay. Is there anything you had to present to us that we haven't covered in the previous presentations?
I believe the narrow question for you commissioners today is just whether you would like to proceed with the formation process by referring the matter to voters with the designated tax letter.
Any questions from the VOC at this point for our presenters?
Commissioners, could I add one thing for the record?
Sure.
Just, you know, this is a process that involves a lot of parties and actions, and we did submit the proposed boundaries, which, for the record, includes the City of Toledo and generally follows the boundaries of the Toledo Grove Fire Protection District. Combining those two is the proposed district. We did make some changes, slight changes, just to try and square off some of the boundaries here to make it easier to get this through the process of the Department of Revenue to approve the boundaries. We were able to make a pre-application to the Department of Revenue. Our pre-review is basically what the process is, in which they take a look at the boundaries and then come back to us and say if they have any questions or issues. The preliminary review, we got back information from Department of Revenue. They were fine. They had a couple of suggestions. We've reviewed that through the Surveyor's Office and responded to that. Unfortunately, I can't tell you today that we have an actual pre-approved boundary. There's a couple of small areas they're discussing, and so I think it's down to the point where they're ready to give us the approval in the not too distant future.
Okay.
With that, but I will note just for the record that if you go forward with this action and establish that with the boundaries, I do leave some language in the proposed order in which we are able to make minor adjustments to the boundary if required. It doesn't really change the boundaries, it changes the description of the boundaries if required by the Department of Revenue. So I've included language to that effect in the proposed order.
Okay. Okay, at this point then, Commissioner Hunt, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to ask if there was anyone else who wished to testify, but if you have something
go ahead.
All right.
I was getting ahead of the process.
That's okay. Is there anyone else who wishes to be heard on in the hearing on formation of the Greater Toledo Pool Recreation District?
I just have a question. Do you want me to?
Yeah, please. So we can capture it on the recording.
Okay.
And we know you, but for the record.
I'm Billie Jo Smith from Toledo, and I'm secretary of the committee, the COPO committee.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is of Wayne about the boundaries. Can the measure be submitted to the county clerk immediately, or does it have to wait for the boundary approval from the Department of Revenue?
I intend to submit it immediately. What we can do is if there are some slight, and again, it's not going to change the boundaries of the area. What will change is the actual way you describe the boundaries.
Right, right.
Is that we have until March 17th to actually, if we need to make any kind of little adjustment, either in the map or the, then the map won't be actually impacted because it shows the boundaries. But if we have to change that legal description a little bit, I have until March 17th to actually provide that to the clerk. So that doesn't affect the ability to get it on the May ballot.
Okay, and can the clerk issue a measure number prior to receiving that from you?
Yes.
Okay.
He'll be able
That's
to do
critical.
That. Hopefully, the intent is if the board acts on this today, I think we have to have the initial information to the clerk by the 24th, if I recall, of February.
Yes, that's the deadline.
And we'll get that in. We have to file some additional paperwork, but we would do that. All that would be in, he would assign a number at that point.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else who wishes to be heard? If not, we'll close the public hearing and have discussion and questions by the board.
Well, I clarify one thing just again so the public understands. Council Belmont talked about easy to get this through. I think it's very important to note, as he stated, that it's easy to get it through as far as the legal description
exactly.
of the boundaries.
Yes, exactly.
We're not talking about anything that has to do with the vote or the outcome. I think that's extremely important to emphasize, that we're trying to make the legal description easy and not anything else relative to the process. Second of all, we've heard testimony in the prior public meeting about concerns about the budget. And as I stated at that time, that's really not our issue at this time. We as the Board of Commissioners are simply authorizing this vote to be placed before the voters of the proposed district. So while there may be concerns about the budget, that's really not an issue that we will be addressing. And then finally, I need to state that if this district is created, I live within that district, and my support of creation of the district has nothing to do with whether or not I support the bond or the outcome of that vote. So I want that clearly stated for the record.
Okay. Commissioner Thompson?
Historically, vote of the people is something that's the right way to go about things.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what should happen, and I'm happy to support sending it out to vote of people and let them make the decision.
Okay, Mr. Belmont, next steps. I think we have consensus then to move this forward to the May ballot.
Then I have prepared an order for you to consider today, and the order does basically a couple of things. One, it says that sets the final boundaries as described in the legal description, which we've looked at previously, and the map, which is attached. And again, for purposes of generally describing it, it includes the boundaries, the city of Toledo, and the fairly closely follows the existing boundaries of the Toledo Rural Fire Protection District, those combined. The order would place this particular matter on the May 16, 2017 election. With a question, and I don't want to make sure it's clear. The question is, even though there's two separate kind of issues, it's one question. It's an up or down vote on do you form the district and authorize the permanent district rate levy of 77 cents. That's a vote.
Form
if you vote up,
fund,
that, form and fund, or you vote it down, which means if you vote no, the district is not formed, and of course the levy is then not approved. I have prepared an appropriate notice of measure election that includes a caption, a question, summary, and an explanatory statement that will go into the voters. Well, part of it will go into the voters' pamphlet, but the question will be the matter considered by the electors. I've actually had that pre-reviewed by the clerk, so we ensure that we've got. There's very rigorous requirements for the number of words you can utilize in this process, and we meet all those requirements. And then basically the order establishes if a majority of the voters within the proposed district affirm the formation and the adoption of the levy, then we'll come back and after the certified results of the election are provided to you, then we'll enter an order forming the district. If a majority of the voters oppose the formation and the levy, then we'll also do another order, but that will dismiss this particular process. So all that's incorporated into what's in front of you today.
Could I have a motion then, please?
I'll move for approval of the order establishing boundaries for the proposed Greater Toledo Pool Recreation District and calling for an election.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, it is so ordered. We move on to decision and action items. And Mr. Kenyon, you are up. This is a proposed resolution in support of the transportation funding in the 2017 session of the Oregon Legislature.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Roy Kenyon, Lincoln County Public Works Director. And what I bring to you today is a resolution asking for your support of the 2017 state transportation package. It was a request through Association of Oregon Counties that all of the counties support what the state is trying to do here. Basically, all of the Oregon counties are in the same boat as far as funding goes. And I hope that this Lincoln County Road Priorities sheet was along with the
yes,
resolution.
Yes.
That kind of gives you a breakdown of where Lincoln County is. It gives you some information about our road miles, our bridges, the general condition of our roads and the general condition of our bridges, and it also shows you what our state highway fund income is in fiscal year 16. And then it also shows you what the potential would be if this state transportation package actually passed, the potential income that would be coming into, or revenue that would be coming into Lincoln County for road purposes.
Could I make some observations and questions? And I'm sure my colleagues would like to jump in as well. And I'll speak first with my hat on as president of AOC for 2017, although traditionally AOC does not identify single priorities. You know, we've got a legislative agenda and we say it's all important. I think it would be pretty clear, and both Commissioner Hunt and Thompson participate in AOC activities. Commissioner Hunt chairs the governance committee for the association. That there is a really strong consensus that getting a transportation package this time around has to be a top priority. And I think, you know, people look at our data sheet, they'll see that 77% of our paved roads are in good or better condition. And that's better than a lot of counties, I believe, like, for instance, our neighbor to the north, Tillamook. But due to the end of the federal timber money and the timber replacement money, if we don't, and please correct me if I'm wrong or if you could expand on this a little bit, Roy, if we don't have a replacement source of revenue to fill that gap within not too many years, we are not going to be able to maintain the roads at the current good standard.
Right. We actually have an overall pavement rating for our system, and it's updated annually. And I didn't actually bring it with me, but you can see it on the chart that even though we are in average or good overall, it's a downward trend.
And slow downward trend right now, right?
As of right now, it's a slow downward trend. But without additional revenue, it's going to continue to go down without the ability to bring it back up. And yes?
Well, I was going to say, and as those roads deteriorate, they start to deteriorate more rapidly. So while the deterioration now is relatively slow, it could get a lot worse more quickly.
That is true. On good to very good pavement, you'll see, as you drive, you'll see a rougher surface. But you don't feel the potholes, you don't feel the sunken spots. As that surface wear gets deeper, yeah, then it gets into base issues and the road does start falling apart. So it does spiral out of control, really.
I think it would be really helpful if we could get this one-page data sheet on the county website so people could refer to this. I mean, talking about the facts, among other things, that, let's see, you know, the fact that what we're dealing with here and the need for revenue and how it would be spent over the next 5 years, that the fact that the timber money and then the timber replacement money has meant roughly half of our road budget
More than half. In 2000. Six and seven, fiscal year 2006, 2007, from federal forest receipts, Lincoln County received $3.4 million. In 2007, 2008, we received $3.5 million. $3.5 was the peak. This year, we receive $122,000. In that same period of time, from state revenue, from gas tax, vehicle registration, we started out at $2.4 million back in 2006-07, and this year we'll receive about $3 million. So the revenue from the state has gone up $600,000, while the revenue from the federal government has gone down $3.4 million.
That's not a good formula. And another thing that's really worrisome, you know, to me again, is the public education that's needed on this, because people, you know, our roads could be better, but they're really pretty good shape right now, and so people say, where's the problem? And then also when the legislature's joint committee came to Newport on its tour, you know, one of the things they mentioned was most people probably do not realize what they're paying in gas tax right now. That, yes, the average person, and they might say $500 a year, but if you're driving 12,000 miles a year in Oregon right now, they said, which is about the average, you're paying $150 a year in gas tax. And when people hear that, they say, well, yeah, then maybe I could afford to pay a little more gas tax if it's going to save our roads.
That is true, but I think locally anyway, one of the big misconceptions is that property taxes that the residents of Lincoln County pays, they think that goes to the road fund also. And so, you know, we hear a lot of this, well, I pay my taxes, why don't you fix my road? Mm-hmm. Well, then I have to explain to them that the two have nothing to do with each other, and that we're solely supported at the state level by gas tax, mm-hmm. vehicle registration fees, and that kind of thing. So they do pay some taxes that does go into the fund, but it's actually a very small percentage.
Commissioner Thompson.
So, being one that committed political suicide over gas tax, mm-hmm. I think I understand why you can't get there. Mm-hmm. In the Oregon legislature, if you vote for the gas tax, the opposite party will come out and tell you that you've just voted for the largest tax increase ever.
Sure.
So, for people that are in the legislature that decide to vote, and I felt comfortable doing, I actually had the director of Department of Transportation ask me not to vote for it because she knew what it was going to do.
Right. Well, and the transportation package that they're going to propose, it's not just solely they're looking at gas tax. They supplied us with a list of possible sources of revenue, and of course the top lines are, you know, gas taxes, but also they're looking at increased driver and vehicle fees, electric vehicle registration fees, because as you well know, electric vehicles do not pay gas tax, but they do use road. They're looking at additional first-time title fees on new vehicles, a vehicle excise tax, local registration fees, studded tire tax. Then for some of the bigger, like the interstates, state highways, they're actually considering, and this is just all possibilities, there's nothing mm-hmm. committed, but the, you know, roadway tolling, having the people pay for each trip. General revenues, they're looking at lottery revenue, which I know everybody always wants to try to reach out and, you know, grab some megabucks mm-hmm. money, but anyway, it's on the list. Even a statewide property tax, you know, general fund dedications, and so there's about a page of possibilities mm-hmm. here. And so, I guess to answer your question, yes, you know, you're right that asking for enough additional gas tax to make a difference is a far reach and could very well be political suicide. But as of right now, the committee is looking at every possibility, hoping to, you know, maybe use multiple avenues to bring in the money that's necessary.
Well, being a person that spends a lot of time in the Capitol building, you've got to bring both parties together, and both parties have to put people up to make the vote mm-hmm. to get there.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, it takes horse trading. And there's opportunities, but you've got to also find parties that are willing to horse trade to make this thing work. It's mm-hmm. not an easy process. In fact, I've watched it now for over 20-some years, and very, very seldom is a transportation package passed. Not because it isn't needed, and not because it isn't locally desired, but because of the complexities of trying to get there inside of that building. It's, I think, probably, in my opinion, the most challenging thing to do of anything I've seen. Education funding is a huge challenge, but I think passing the transportation package is the most challenging political thing I've watched.
And I agree. I really don't believe, this is my own personal opinion, I do not believe that the answer is going to come at the state level. I think really for our funding problems, I think really the answer needs to come from the federal level. And I know that with the new regime, there's been talk about infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that that's going to help us either, because infrastructure is nice. It's nice to replace the bridges. It's nice to build new wide freeways, but it doesn't help us with our day-to-day maintenance costs. I think that something has to be done at the federal level to get money that's not committed when it comes to us, money that doesn't have a bunch of strings attached to it, money that we can put in our budget that we can actually pull out to pay for personnel costs, maintenance costs, that kind of a thing. Capital projects are nice, but if you can't maintain what you have, pretty soon the whole county becomes a capital project that needs to be done. So
exactly. I think that one of the reasons why I'd love to see this sheet on the website is, you know, it points out that the cost effectiveness of preservation, without regular preservation treatments, roads would eventually need to be reconstructed at a 6 to 14 times higher cost. So if we can get that across to people, pay a little more now or pay a whole lot more later, or you don't get from here to there anymore. Right. So this is part of the AOC strategy that, you know, certainly we'll do a resolution as an association, but trying to get as many individual counties to do this, these resolutions as possible, hopefully will help to be part of a larger grassroots message to the legislature that there is broad support for this throughout Oregon.
Right, and I'd also want everybody to know that the numbers that I gave you today, it's not new, it's mm-hmm. not a surprise. We knew this was coming for a long time, and we've slowly been trying to gear things down to match the level of revenue that comes in. We're not going to close our doors. We're still going to have a road department. We're still going to do as much maintenance as we possibly can. But what it really does mean is that, for the most part, we will not be able to have revenue to do improvement projects. Yeah. That everything from asphalt overlays to, you know, new bridges, that kind of a thing. There is other monies out there there that we do receive from time to time, but it's infrastructure specific. You know, we do receive money from time to time with a 10% match to replace a bridge, but it's very competitive. We can't pick or choose the bridge or the time. Every 3 years we put in a list of about 12 that need work, and if we are lucky, we get one. If we're not lucky, we don't get any, and we have to wait till another cycle comes through. So if we do not get additional funding, there will be a slow deterioration of the road system, and people are going to have to learn how to drive around potholes.
Yes.
So, you know, resolutions are nice, mm-hmm. but it's going to take a change to the attitude of the average citizen to be knowledgeable enough that it doesn't make any difference what party, what you're involved in, how you're involved. This is a good investment. If you don't pay for it, it costs you a lot more in the long run.
That's true.
And as the more and more citizens understand that, mm-hmm. you got a better chance of getting this thing through.
Exactly.
It becomes not an issue of party politics or even the vote. It becomes we're looting. People say,
right.
We want to do this.
Well, you know, in this last winter, we're not out of it yet, thanks to the groundhog. But the freeze that we had, that freeze period, and the snow, it actually did more damage to the paved surfaces of our roads than just about anything else. And I know that there's several famous potholes out there that I've heard have been patched, outside of our jurisdiction anyway, that have been causing serious damage to vehicles. Flat tires, bent rims, vehicles out of alignment. And so those are the kinds of things that people are going to be experiencing, and it's not the pothole's fault. You know, it's really the fact that we can't afford to fix a lot of that.
So let me caution.
Yes.
A lot of people drive down a road and hit a famous pothole,
mm-hmm.
and they call the county, assuming that it's our road. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, they're not our roads.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So, explain how that all works, if you can, in a second.
We actually redirect that person to the appropriate jurisdiction. And so, you know, we try to explain the best we can what the situation is, and then we try to get them in contact with the correct people. We cannot fix potholes outside of our jurisdiction. It's actually not legal for us to spend dedicated road funds outside county road right-of-way.
And I think it's, you know, again, part of the education process. I imagine there are some people who assume state gas tax is going to maintain state roads, but as Mr. Kenyon mentioned, that people think, well, I pay my property taxes, isn't that maintaining the county roads? No, it's not. That there is a division of funds between the state system, the counties, and the cities, and actually it's true in Oregon, I don't know about other states, that the counties have more road miles and more bridges than the state does.
That is correct.
That is a big reason why AOC is so invested in this, as well as just from the overall keeping our economy healthy and keeping people on the road safe.
That is correct. And actually, the state gas tax that we pay locally, it doesn't stay locally. It actually goes to the state level, and then it gets redistributed by registered vehicles. And so some of the bigger counties, Lane, Marion, Lynn, Clackamas, Washington, some of those, they actually, because of population, they get the lion's share. Lincoln County is about in the middle when it comes to distribution. Our friends from Eastern Oregon, they're actually get a lot less than what we do.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, so
maybe we should take some of these famous potholes and dedicate them in the name of the person who knows votes no on the transportation package.
There you go. I like that. All right. Mr.
It hasn't been mentioned, but I also think it's important to know that the gas tax hasn't been raised, and I'm not sure
how many years,
but 1993, I think, is the federal year.
Yeah.
And state isn't much more recently than that. So, again, the gas tax has not been increased, and yet, obviously, the cost of repair and maintain our roads has increased dramatically. Mm-hmm. The other point I'd like to make is certainly there's some opportunity for some retrofitting of bridges, seismic improvements, but the bulk of those critical bridges are on state highways, and certainly the Quinebay Bridge comes to mind. So,
right.
Again, while the gas tax would provide revenues to the state, or the gas tax would provide revenues, additional revenues for the state to maintain those bridges, which is certainly a critical part of our county's transportation system. And I think the final point we need to make is let's not forget that good infrastructure, good road system is critical for economic development, jobs. So.
Yep.
Another reason that I think we need to support the effort to come up with a transportation funding package to address these issues.
Let me touch on another little subject that happens in this area. Is individual cities can raise a gas tax
to help
their situation.
Yeah.
I'm not saying good or bad, but for counties, we have very, very few gas stations in the rural part of the state, so we're not even able to do that.
Yeah, I think we have two.
We'd have two.
Burnt Woods.
Oh, Burnt Woods.
They had not a lot of gallons. Where's
the other one?
Otis.
Otis and Burnt Woods.
All right.
So
there used to be one at Salishan, but that was closed a long time
ago. Yeah.
So a lot of times people see, local gas tax, so they assume some of it goes to the county.
Yep.
We don't qualify
good
there either.
Excellent. All right. Could I have a motion, please, gentlemen?
I'll move for approval of a resolution in support of transportation funding package in the 2017 legislative session.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. It's approved. Thank you, Mr. Kinney.
Thank you.
We move on to reports from commissioners or staff. Anything to share, Commissioner Thompson? Yes,
I spent the last 2 days in the Capitol. I have a headache.
There you go. All right, yeah, I think I'm going to pass the day as well. Is there any constituent input? Hearing none. We don't have an executive session, so next meeting of the Board of Commissioners.
Commissioners, can I just make a note on that?
Yeah.
Point there, just to make sure we get this right.
We're going to have morning and evening sessions.
Yes, we end up having a morning session because we have a hearing on the to consider the boundaries for the conversion of the existing Southwest Lincoln County Water District to a People's Utility District. They're going through that process again, and unfortunately we set the public notice on that for the morning without confirming that the meeting was in the evening. So that'll be at 9:30. We'll just have a hearing on that matter at 9:30. Then you're back again at 6 o'clock with a joint session with the City of Newport, followed by a regular session afterwards.
And so that joint session with the City of Newport is at Newport City Hall.
Yeah. Whereas the morning meeting is here.
It's here, right.
Yes. So. Commissioner Johnson?
I did want to mention one thing. Yesterday I did the State Land Board.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing another cable. It doesn't directly affect Lincoln County, but since Coastcom is involved in a lot of this, which is part of Lincoln County,
mm-hmm.
the new cable for Microsoft was mm-hmm. approved by the land board yesterday mm-hmm. that is will come into Oregon.
So great.
That was an accomplishment.
Very good. All right. Until next Wednesday, we're